How powerful were the great eagles in Tolkien's Legendarium? They seemed to be always in the right place at the right time and are very good at what they do, but would they have survived a battle against the other powerful beings in Middle-earth? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we dive deep into the Lord of the Rings and Tolkien's wider Legendarium, as well as A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. The eagles in Tolkien's world are clearly not just normal eagles. They seem intelligent, can talk, and have a habit of arriving at just the right time every time. So what's going on? What are they exactly? And how powerful are they? Let's start with what we know from The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. And it's worth stating up front that their reputation for being ridiculously useful, almost too useful, in getting our heroes out of scrapes is well deserved. They rescue Bilbo, Gandalf and the dwarves in The Hobbit, then turn up again later to help turn the fate of the Battle of the Five Armies. In The Lord of the Rings, Gwaihir rescues Gandalf from Orthanc, then later transports the resurrected Gandalf the White from the top of the Misty Mountains to Lothlorien. They come in great numbers to fight in the Battle of the Morannon, taking on the Nazgul on their flying fell beasts, then rescue Frodo and Sam from Mount Doom at the end. This is why people often ask if the eagles could just fly the ring to Mount Doom and save everyone a whole load of hassle, which is a fair question, but when you look into it, there are actually lots of good reasons why not. I did a separate video on that if you're interested. In any event, Tolkien was very aware of their potential to be overpowerful in his universe. In letter 210, critiquing a proposed and later abandoned film version of The Lord of the Rings, he wrote that "The eagles are a dangerous machine. I have used them sparingly, and that is the absolute limit of their credibility or usefulness." He clearly didn't want them used any more than they already were. They were not taxis, he insisted. Indeed, when we dig back into the eagles' history in Middle-earth, it is clear that they are not. They do a lot of different things. They were sent originally by Manwë, the Lord of the Valar, to act as his eyes and ears in Middle-earth, which the Valar had largely cut themselves off from by that point. Manwë instructed Thorondor, the Lord of the Eagles, to build his eyries on the top of Thangorodrim, the mountain that rose above Morgoth's subterranean stronghold. Quite a dangerous place for them to have as their base, but it proved very useful. The eagles helped Fingon rescue Maedhros, snatched Fingolfin's body from Morgoth, and helped Beren and Lúthien escape after the theft of the Silmaril. Later, they moved their eyries to near Gondolin and helped keep that secret from Morgoth for longer than any other major elf stronghold, providing intelligence reports to Turgon, killing random orc scouts and spies, and, when Gondolin did eventually fall, protecting the survivors as they fled. They also played a major role in the War of Roth at the end of the age. You don't need to know the Silmarillion back to front to understand that, although the eagles may not have always been at the forefront of the stories we read then, they played a vital role at vital moments. They had a similar watching and occasionally intervening brief in the Second Age, this time mainly focused on Numenor. They had an eyrie at the King's House in Armenelos in Numenor, at least until Tar-An-Calimon was on the throne, when the Numenoreans began to turn their backs on Eru. Some more were based on the north of the island, and probably most significantly, three were stationed around the top of Mount Meneltama at the centre of the island. These three became known as the Witnesses of Manwë. The top of Mount Meneltama was a place of worship of Eru, and the king would lead his people up there three times a year, witnessed by the eagles. But then, as I said, in the second part of the Second Age, most Numenoreans started turning away from the true path, and the eagles instead took on the role of warning or reasoning with Numenor on behalf of Manwë. In the Third Age, they were situated towards the northern end of the Misty Mountains. This allowed them to see what was happening with the growing threat of Angmar, and then the goblins of Goblintown, and the orcs more widely in the area. They didn't just stand by watching, however. They apparently often stopped whatever wickedness the goblins were doing as well, and obviously were on hand to rescue Thorin's company from that band of goblins and wargs in The Hobbit. They went on with their watching brief as well, helping keep Radagast and the elves informed of what the orcs were up to in those last few years of the Third Age. It was this work, incidentally, that led to Gwaihir's rescue of Gandalf from Orthanc. In the books, Gandalf didn't summon Gwaihir. Gwaihir was there of his own volition, sharing information at the request of Radagast. It may sound like a small distinction, but I think it's an important one. The Eagles weren't Gandalf's to summon or order, or his personal moth Uber service. They had a much higher calling than that. Gandalf knows this, so when he's being carried, we get this exchange. "How far can you bear me?" I said to Gwaihir. "Many leagues," said he, "but not to the ends of the earth. I was sent to bear tidings, not burdens." Gandalf doesn't question this or seek to persuade Gwaihir, and instead immediately starts thinking about how else he might get around Middle-earth, hence him finding and choosing Shadowfax. So, what are the Eagles? Well, we should probably first distinguish between Eagles generally and the Great Eagles, or Giant Eagles. As the narrator says in The Hobbit, Eagles are not kindly birds. Some are cowardly and cruel, but the ancient race of the northern mountains were the greatest of all birds. They were proud and strong and noble-hearted. The great eagles are a race apart, not normal eagles. Indeed, as Gwaihir said to Gandalf, they were sent to Middle-earth, rather than just grew up there as a species. They are sapient and can talk intelligently, having something of a moral compass and clear allies. They are also massive. We don't get detailed descriptions of all of them, but Thorondor, the first lord of the eagles, was said to have a wingspan of 30 fathoms, which is about 180 feet or 55 metres. For context, that's about the same size as a B-52 bomber plane. Huge. The eagles around at the time of the Lord of the Rings were probably smaller, but still easily able to pick up full-sized humans and carry them for long periods of time. Eagles in our world are large and magnificent, but these great eagles are something else altogether. Going deeper into the weeds of Tolkien's writings, it has to be said that his conception of exactly what the giant eagles were changed a couple of times during his lifetime. Early on, he seems to have thought them as Maiar, like Gandalf and Saruman say, except in the form of eagles. This is what it says in the Silmarillion. Spirits in the shape of hawks and eagles flew ever to and from Manwë's halls, and their eyes could see to the depths of the seas and pierce the hidden caverns beneath the world. Thus they brought word to him of well-nigh all that passed in Arda. So this original version of the giant eagles makes them even more powerful. As Maiar, they are spiritual beings created before time itself, and like Gandalf, could not truly die. Or technically, they could die physically, but still come back. And their eyesight seems far more powerful than even the most eagle-eyed eagle, able to see even to the bottom of the sea or through deep rock and caverns. It's almost X-ray vision. And in combat, they were fearsome indeed. As we saw, Thorondor even managed to wound Morgoth in the face in the First Age. These were powerful beings. Later, however, when reflecting on the Lord of the Rings, Tolkien notes that Gwaihir and Landrovel are said to be descendants of Sorantar. In summary, I think it must be assumed that talking is not necessarily the sign of the possession of a rational soul or fear. The same sort of thing may be said of the eagles. They were taught language by the Valar and raised to a higher level, but they still had no fear. Fear here being Tolkien's word for a soul. So by the time of writing The Lord of the Rings, the eagles were still powerful, but created beings who had been elevated by Manwë, teaching them language, rather than Maiar who had existed before time itself. But Tolkien seems to have changed his mind again later, when in 1970 he wrote about those Maiar who took the form of the mighty speaking eagles that we hear of in the legends of the War of the Noldor against Melkor, and who remained in the west of Middle-earth until the fall of Sauron and the dominion of man, after which they are not heard of again. And if you dig even deeper, you'll find even more clarifications and changes of nuance on this by Tolkien over the years. Overall, I think we have to accept that Tolkien's idea of their exact nature changed over time, and how powerful they were personally also changed over time, although, importantly, their role and purpose did not change. The eagles were sent by Manwë. They were his representatives, his eyes and his actions in Middle-earth. Most of the time, they just observed or low-level disrupted the plans of the enemy. But when only they could intervene to keep Eru's ineffable plan on track, they did, with devastatingly effective action, rescuing Beren and Luthien, ensuring the quest of Erebor was a success, saving Gandalf so he could play his part in The Lord of the Rings. These were Manwë's agents in action. The word Tolkien uses here, indeed he coined the term, was eucatastrophe, a sudden turn of events in a story which ensures that the protagonist does not meet some terrible, impending, and very plausible and probable doom. That's the Wikipedia definition, by the way, though it's a good summary of what Tolkien meant by it. This is sometimes dismissed rather sneeringly as deus ex machina, God in the works, the writer intervening in the plot to save characters or move things along in a way that otherwise wouldn't happen in that created world. The eagles, some have said, are a failing in Tolkien's writing, a convenient, easy way to save characters from whatever scrape they find themselves in. But to think that would be to completely misunderstand Tolkien's notion of eucatastrophe and what the eagles represent. The eagles' appearances aren't failures of imagination on Tolkien's part. They are deliberate and intentional, and they are supposed to feel like God intervening. They are God in the works, not Tolkien, but Manwë, the Lord of the Valar, intervening directly. This isn't an example of plot failing. It's Tolkien's world working, the Valar caring. The eagles may seem ethereal, too good to be true, being in the right place at the right time too often, and yes, they are wondrous in their timing and efficacy, but that's precisely because they are Tolkien showing us that Manwë, who knows the mind of Ilúvatar like no other, cares for and protects the free peoples of Middle-earth. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.